Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to listen to the full Burke Show every day, uninterrupted, with no ads? Become a bonus Burke Show subscriber. Find out more at theburkeshow.com/bonusbs.
The Burke Show.
All right, Burke Show, your life is a reality TV show, okay? What was the highlight in the reality TV show over the weekend, Abby?
Oh, this weekend, me and my friend decided to go hiking, which I always think is going to be a good idea because I'm somewhat athletic. It never is. Nature really puts all the obstacles in front of you to make sure you look stupid. And that was me this weekend, hiking with a friend. I tripped one too many times. I got a lot of scars, but we had a good time.
Was there a destination in mind, like this glorious lake? Because for me, that's the only great part of hiking, is knowing that you're going to get to something beautiful. The hike itself sucks.
Like a waterfall?
Yeah, waterfall, something like that.
Beautiful summit,
yes.
Overlooking something spectacular.
Right.
Yeah, there was a gorgeous waterfall which you had to like traverse to get to. And I saw somebody, because we just got to the ledge, because we were like, we're just here for a photo and a good time. And so we make it to the waterfall, but you could go down like a second level. And there was one person down there where it looked like she had quite literally like crossed the river to get to the middle of this big lake with a stone in the middle. She looked like she was having a zen time. She does this every week. But by the time we had gotten to like the baby steps of the waterfall, we were like, I want to go home.
Walking is overrated.
It is.
When my friend Dolvet and I were becoming really good friends, he's black, I'm white. One of the when we finally were starting to open up to each other, and he's like, hey, can I ask you something about white people? And I'm like, yeah, go for it, dude. He's like, why y'all hike?
That's a good question.
Mo, how was your weekend? Your reality TV show, man. What was the highlight?
I would say it's between two moments. But either between Saturday when I went to a pool party and I saw everybody run out of the pool because a guy decided to let his snake loose in the pool.
What?
Okay. So, like a real snake loose, or is this like...
No, it's a real snake.
Oh, okay. Like, oh. You meant like...
Not like... No, like a snake.
A snake snake.
A snake snake.
Oh, like not a trouser snake, but a snake snake.
Like a 20-foot Burmese python
what
snake.
The hell no.
It's always that guy, man.
I thought you meant the same thing. I thought he like dropped his pants or something.
No, real snake. Either between that or finishing my second album. So I had two really good highlights this weekend.
That's great.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I can't wait to hear this snake story. Man, what the hell?
It's a good one.
How was yours, Cass? Reality. Reality TV show is yours. There you are with a jacked up foot. You couldn't do anything this weekend.
I can't beat a 20-foot Burmese python getting loose. But it was my husband's birthday, so we celebrated. And we went up to this really cool specialty store that he's been looking at. It's for something called Gundam. So if you're into the anime scene, you know about it. This is a huge online store that just opened up a brick and mortar about an hour north of us. And he found something super rare that he wanted for his birthday, so that was a highlight.
Okay.
Seeing how happy he was. Yeah.
Super cool. Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my kid to poop in a Target. That's the other highlight. That's a battle no one wants to fight. I'd rather go hiking with Abby.
Just so scared to like actually go. But
let's just leave it at traumatic. Okay. And we'll move on. Right.
Kristen, how was yours?
It was great. It was a low-key weekend. There was nothing on the books, which is like spectacular because it's been so just insanely busy lately. But we got to hang out with some friends on Sunday, and Jimmy got to hang out with a little buddy that's about 6 months older than him, and just the two of them chasing each other. Like, you know how you have like those core memories? So for me, it was just the two of them chasing each other around the mm-hmm. kitchen island, just yelling and screaming and having the best time. So yeah, Jimmy just made a friend. So that was the highlight of my weekend.
Yeah, sometimes I think those memories right there are Like, they stick with you way more than, like, going on the big vacations or anything like that.
It was really sweet.
Yeah. So for our seven-year, hey, this is when we met each other anniversary, Tiffany and I, my fiance and I, went up to Toronto this weekend, which is really awesome. It was really awesome. Went to go see Niagara Falls.
Isn't it beautiful?
It's really amazing. And I've had a chance to see it now from both sides, the United States and the Canadian side. And the Canadian side kicks ass. Yeah. The New York side, you can only see, like, you have to, like, sort of angle yourself to the left, and you can only see one side. And on the Canadian side, it's just really super overwhelming. And we were going to go up into the CN Tower. There's an observation deck up there. I think it's, I don't know, it's something crazy, like 200 stories high, and you get to see all of Toronto, but you have to buy tickets in advance, and it's always a hot ticket. So I got mine before we left, and we spent 45 minutes in the line to get up there. And we get to the front, and I show the woman our tickets. She's like, you bought tickets for the observation deck in Niagara Falls, not here downtown Toronto. So sorry.
Wow.
You aren't going anywhere.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. But outside of that, it was it's a really great weekend. It was what?
I'm just thinking, after 7 years, has she now learned that whenever you buy a ticket for something, she needs to look at it first before you go?
She really should. Yeah. And I just buy it.
Like, don't even let you buy it.
I hit at about 97%, but that 3% is a real pain in the ass. But it was a good weekend in Toronto.
The Burt Show.
All right, Cassie, Abby, are you being an a-hole because your friend has this job of a lifetime in front of her and you're trying to talk her out of it?
Yeah, so you guys are going to think I'm an absolutely terrible friend. You know my friend Kennedy. I married her on air a couple of weeks ago, and I love her to death. We both met where I moved from in Florida, and ever since I've left, she's like, well, it's just not the same now that you're gone, which is really flattering. Aww. I love to hear that. But she's kind of going through this quarter-life crisis where she's like, you know, I'm young. I'm smart. I can do anything at this point in my life. I think I want to switch up my job. So she had gone looking for new jobs and stuff, and she's up for a couple right now. And she told me, she's like, you know, I was thinking about moving to Chicago. I was thinking about moving to Austin. I was thinking about moving to Dallas. I'm like, wow, these are all great, like, young people cities. And then she ends it with, yeah, and I think I'm really going to get this job in London. And I was like, oh, London is, like, really far. Like, that's a great opportunity for you. Really exciting. But, you know, moving across the world, not really something you just do, like, on a whim. And she's like, yeah, I know. But, you know, I think this is just, like, the right thing for me to do. So I hang up the phone with her, and then I immediately call her back. And I'm like, I don't think you should go. And she's like, well, I haven't even gotten the job yet. And I'm like, I know, but it sounds like you're really leaning towards this London gig, right? And she's like, yeah. So I hang up the phone. A couple days go by. She calls me up. She goes, hey. So I got the job in London.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, that's really great. And I'm, like, sitting there in, like, a cold sweat and, like, a panic of, like, am I happy for her, or do I try and, like, lay it on thick how I really feel? Because in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, if I'm delusionally happy for her and she goes over there and she's upset and, like, not happy about the situation, I have not done my job as a friend in terms of, like, warning her, trying to give her some tough love so that she's, like, prepared and has, like, some grit going into moving. Because I just moved and, you know, I kind of know how it is, and it's not all sunshine and rainbows and, like, a good distraction. There's hard parts to it, too. It's not just moving to London. So I'm like, okay, do I be happy? Do I give her the hard news? And then I immediately go, I'm going to give her the hard news. And so I just go off on this rant about, like, well, your family, they live in Idaho, and think about the time difference. And, like, I won't be able to visit you because I'm looking at flights right now and they're $1,300. And I love you, but I don't love you that much. And I just kind of started to word vomit at her. And then once I finished, I was like, that was a bad idea.
Yeah.
That was not the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. So she handled it very, very well. But we're just kind of sitting on the phone, and it's now kind of awkward. And I tried to wrap it up. I ended it by being like, but you know what? You're a smart girl, and whatever you want to do, I know
you can handle it. She was
did
like,
you just rain on her London parade?
I did. I did. But so, London is going to rain on her enough. So
very true. Did you also bring up the bad weather?
Yes.
What was the real reason why you were kind of buzz killing it? Was because you don't want her to move because you're going to miss her?
Yeah, I'm never going to see her. But I also, I think I'm like the fixer friend as well. So like when a friend's not in a good relationship or if a friend's going through a problem, my piece of advice is usually like, well, run, because that's what I would do. I'm like, well, either like don't take the job because it's going to be hard, or leave the guy because he sucks. And I am learning that that is one of my fatal flaws, is that I'm always just telling people to like not do the easy thing, but basically just like cut cords, because that's what I do. And I'm now realizing that if my friend takes this job, I'm going to have to take some growing step or, sit through some growing pains and realize that my friends are going to go through hard stuff that I can't fix for them or that I can't save them from. And I think if she ends up taking this London job, I'm going to have to sit through that a little bit.
Well, there might not be that, though, because you've told us before that your perspective on life really is one like doom. Like,
yes.
What is going to go wrong is always sort of your go-to. That's just naturally how you are, right? So the advice that you're giving her is through your experience and the way you live your life. Like, oh, my God, so many of these things can go wrong. But others might look at that opportunity and go, oh, my God, look at all the things that could go right in London. I mean, it's a completely different culture. You might take off in your career. You're going to meet all these new friends. You're going to realize that people live so differently. But your lens is so different that you're giving her the advice that you would give yourself.
Yeah, which is not the right thing to do, as I'm finding. So thankfully, she wasn't like mad at me or anything. Because, you know, sometimes you can lash out at a friend. I wasn't really lashing out. But you can kind of like word vomit to a friend and you're not really sure how they're going to like handle things moving forward. But you know what? We're on good terms. But I really am having a hard time like trying to be delusionally happy for her because it's not something I would do for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So next time she picks up the phone, I'm going to have to put on a good face.
That's what I was going to ask you. If you have gone back and vocalized where this came from now that you've had this realization to her, or did you just kind of leave it where it was?
You know what, Mo? That's a great idea. And I think as a good...
You should probably do that. Yeah.
As a good friend, I should probably tell her why I don't want her to go halfway across the world instead of just making her move to worst-case scenario.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
I think a good circle back combo would be awesome.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
My generation knows him as the hot dad from The Parent Trap, but it's time to rebrand him as Dennis Quaid, gospel singer. It's always wildly interesting to see actors or actresses or like even singers when they take on a new role, even if they're good at it, it's hard to like wrap your mind around it because you're like, wait a second, Taylor Swift, you're not an actress. What are you doing here in this movie? And so when
I feel like he's sort of trying to make the transition, and he has been for a while into like more Christian-based movies anyway.
You think so?
Yeah, so this is kind of like down his lane.
Yeah, so he's really taken on this huge step because he released an entire album called Fallen. I think it takes a lot of bravery. That at that late in life, Mans could just be riding the royalties off these Parent Trap residuals, and he's stepping out and doing something new. So Dennis Quaid, I'm proud of you, at least.
And then his brother Randy is out there doing his Randy things.
Wait, what is Randy doing?
Randy Quaid?
I don't know anything about Randy Quaid.
I don't either.
Randy was the one in Christmas Vacation. There's an RV, Clark, right?
Oh.
Cousin Eddie.
Yep, Cousin Eddie. So, and it was a couple years back, some videos went viral. He was talking about aliens.
Yeah.
So he may have been accurate.
He and his wife were going on some craziness, man. They were like QAnon before QAnon was QAnon.
Big conspiracy theorists.
Yeah, and I'm not really sure what happened to that dude.
But then when you watch the videos, you're just like, who put the drugs down? It was very intense, and it's just, I can't even remember exactly what they were talking about. But it was slightly terrifying.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but if you're right, if they're talking about aliens, they must have known something that the government knew and was keeping from us.
It was more than that.
It was more than aliens. Yeah, it was a lot of stuff. But okay. I remember aliens being a part of it, if I'm recollecting correctly. So I just feel like it's just so funny how you can have two kids from the same family and they're just very different.
And they're not close. They don't speak at all.
And I see why one is up in the heavens, one is up in space. Got it. Mm-hmm. Beloved Bachelor franchise couple
This broke my heart. Jason Tardik and Caitlin Bristow, they have broken off their engagement. They were together for 4 years, and fans had been speculating about this for a while. They were commenting on all their photos, being like, hey, where's Jason? Hey, where's Caitlin? And at one point, like a couple weeks ago, Caitlin posted on Instagram. She's like, can y'all leave me alone about this? Like, if I want to say something, I'm going to say something. So finally, last night, they took to Instagram to let the world know that they have ended their engagement, but they do plan to co-parent their two dogs because Jason actually moved to Nashville to be with Caitlin. They were living together, and they've been asking for prayers and just, you know, having a hard time with it.
So question, if you find love on a national platform like Bachelor, Bachelorette, are you entitled to any privacy in your relationship?
I mean, the PC voice is everybody deserves their kind of their privacy, right? But I mean, if you're sort of drawn to that kind of publicity and you've wanted it and you've used it to get to your success,
yeah.
And now you're telling everybody, okay, that part of us is done. People aren't going to really respect that.
I didn't think so either.
You should get it, but you're not going to.
Here's the thing. If I gave the PC answer and said, yes, they absolutely deserve privacy, it wouldn't matter because when their relevancy is going to start to wane in like a year or two, whenever they're like when they want that little hit of engagement on their Instagram, they're going to come forward with the story.
For sure.
So it doesn't matter what we say now. At some point, they're going to say something about it. Okay, NASA is making a streaming service for nerds. It's going to be a free, no commercial streaming platform where they will offer live coverage from things like rocket launches and original video series. A NASA administrator says, we're putting space on demand and at your fingertips with the new NASA streaming platform.
I'd watch it, but they have really going to have to dumb it down for me.
Yeah.
Really dumb it down. It all fascinates me, but I don't understand any of it.
This is how rockets work.
It's actually, I feel like this. They are gearing up and testing it early because they announced recently they'll be sending a new crew to the moon in 2025, and we've been back to the moon, but like not as a big event watching crew members land. So I feel like this is going to be our updated century's version of the moon landing. So we're just going to watch it on live stream from the moon.
And then there will be conspiracy theories coming out about how it's not real.
Can't wait.
Going to the moon doesn't even sound like a big deal anymore. Like, I've been there, done it, man. What else you got?
That is so American of you.
What else? Yeah.
You've never sounded more American.
If you're going to go on the moon, do something different. Play cornhole. Do something. We've already seen it. You put a flag in.
An actress is expected to bring Tom Cruise to court. I'll tell you what's going on there with your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
She wasn't even supposed to be in her coworker's email, but she was. She found some stuff she didn't like. Now she's wondering exactly what she's supposed to do with all this information.
Yeah, so she was just supposed to go into the email to forward an email that needed to be responded to while her boss was on vacation. And when she got into the email, curiosity got the cat, and she decided to look up if her name had ever been spoken about. And she found one email where she was talking not so nice about her to another coworker. Then she did a little more digging and found that there was also a time when she did not get a flying or glowing review for a promotion that was available. And now she's curious as to if she should actually say something about it or just let it go now that she has this information.
All right. So what she decided to do. I have chosen not to confront my coworker about the nasty emails she wrote about me.
I think that was what we all advised, right?
I really don't want her to find out that I snooped. After hearing what you all had to say, I realized that even though it hurt reading those words about myself, confronting her would create an even bigger issue in our workplace and probably end up damaging my own reputation as well. However, I'll admit my feelings got the best of me, and I couldn't resist the urge to do something. So in a moment of petty revenge, I'm not proud of this.
Oh, no.
I marked a bunch of emails from our boss and her account as spam.
Wait, what?
My thinking was, if her email starts auto-routing our boss's messages to spam, it might give her a taste of her own medicine by making her seem irresponsible and lazy, which is precisely how she described me in that email about the promotion.
Damn, you really couldn't let it go.
Wow.
Of course, I understand that this is not the most mature course of action. And maybe I'll end up regretting it. Yes, I realize that two wrongs don't make a right. However, sometimes karma takes way too long to come around. Maybe this will speed it up.
We'll be coming back around to you pretty soon. Yeah. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I don't see this as a good plan at all. Eventually, she's going to get caught.
I mean, at some point, she's going to realize she's not getting emails from the boss and then go try to figure it out. You go to spam, you see it, you figure out why they've all been forwarded, and you're the only person who ever had access to my email. Not that difficult to figure out.
Yeah. You're cold busted. Not today, but tomorrow.
She just couldn't leave, let alone, could she?
All right, Kristen. So while most women have taken a look at this Barbie movie and love it, there are some dudes that are really pushing back on it hard.
So we have an article from Yahoo Entertainment, and it's was sharing how women are commenting on TikTok about how some men reacted to the monologue scene in Barbie. And spoiler alert, it wasn't good. So, Abby, for those who haven't seen the movie, can you give a little context to that America Ferrera monologue that has all women going, yeah!
Literally cheering in the movie theater.
Yeah, so it's this really pivotal scene where America Ferrera is going on this huge monologue about how hard it is to be a lady because there are so many different standards you have to live up to. It's like, well, you have to be strong and a career woman, but you also have to, like, love your kids. But don't talk about your kids too much. And you also have to, I mean, it's just impossible to be a woman was basically the message of it. And women really felt seen by this because they're like, wow, you really put to words exactly how I feel. And I'm assuming with this, it's going to sound like the men just weren't listening when it was read.
Well, yeah. So it's the reactions men had in the theater as this monologue was happening. So before we even get into that, I just went ahead and Googled Barbie, which if you Google Barbie, the screen pops up pink and there's like these little pink sparkles that show up everywhere on Google. It's adorable.
So fun.
Barbie has surpassed the 1 billion mark worldwide, globally, and that's kind of a big deal. So there's a lot of people watching it. It currently has a 2.9 rating on Google.
2.9?
A 2.9.
You're kidding.
It's made over $1 billion and has a 2.9 rating. And this is with 11,166 reviews, a 2.9.
I'm guessing 90% of women said they loved it and close to 90% of dudes said that they did not. Is that what we got going on?
I'm thinking so. So Zoe Rose Bryant posted this and said they're going to teach America Ferrera's Barbie monologue in schools like that was for the history books, right? And a lot of women, it has resonated with. And as women who live as women and heard this and like, yes, this is how we feel. This affects us. You would think, hey, maybe there's something to this and we should listen to women. Well, there was a TikToker, Franny Pack, and she goes, oh, well, I guess I have to see it again. And she goes, the irony is not lost on her that a man yelled, you're all doing amazing, to a theater full of women who were silently taking in the scene, thus making it about him, even if he did so to be supportive. And this was not a unique situation. So other women started sharing what men did during the America Ferrera monologue. And she goes, there was a guy next to me while watching the movie, and he laughed and said, a little dramatic much, when I was crying about Barbie. This one guy sitting next to me literally yelled, I hate women.
Wow.
An old guy in my theater yelled, this is so stupid, during her speech. Oh. The guy next to me told his girlfriend, too political, and she snickered. She goes, I was shocked. I heard multiple guys laughing at this scene in my cinema. Like, dude behind me kept laughing. I was like, literally, what's funny? Me and my friends were all dead silent. Then this one boy who came with us began laughing during the monologue. The monologue ended. I was crying. I hear a man chuckle two rows behind me. Very representative. And then other women said that men were pulling out their phones. So this guy, and again, these are all different people and all of their experiences watching the Barbie movie in theaters. The guy next to me kept checking his phone for the time. This was the point when the guy next to me decided to start scrolling through Instagram. I almost lost it at him. A man was on his phone during that speech in my theater, and I thought, wow. Somebody else, OMG, and three men in the row ahead of me were playing solitaire and checking their emails during her monologue and most of the serious scenes.
Guys just wanted points for being there with their ladies. That's all. I don't have to enjoy it. I just got to be here to
show up. Yeah.
Now, some women had to deal with some teenage boys. She goes, during mine, the front row was filled with high school boys who would laugh, yell, and even went womp, womp during one of America's pauses in that scene. Another one said a teenage boy kept talking during the quiet parts and the whole monologue. He kept saying, it's not that deep. So other women had to make had to deal with men making noises during the monologue. And again, these are all unique individual women with their own unique experiences. In mine, a guy went, aw, very sarcastically when she finished. And you could physically feel in the air that he ruined it for everyone. A guy yawned in the middle of her speech at mine. A guy burped loudly in the middle of that scene in my theater. There was a guy who audibly sighed behind me during her monologue. In mine, some guy made fart noises through the whole monologue. And one woman had her now ex-boyfriend be the one to ruin the scene. She goes, my boyfriend was on Instagram during the monologue, and I asked why, and he said, bored. We talked about it. He's now my ex.
Yeah, the reaction from some dudes to this whole movie has been the funniest thing to me over the last couple of weeks, watching some guys or listening to some guys on the radio that are really super conservative, and how they haven't been able to laugh at it, not even a little bit, and the threat that it's made to some dudes and how they've lashed out about it. Come on, guys. We're not that insecure, are we?
Well, it's like, it's so disheartening because it's like, here I am as a woman standing in front of you, and this monologue resonated hard with me. Like, I felt that. I'm sitting here saying, this is, as a woman, this is what it feels like to be a woman. And these men are looking us in the face being like, no, it's not.
Right.
How would you know? Like, I am like, why are you that? And so what it means to me is like, you're basically looking at me and calling me a liar and calling my life experience a lie. Like, it's such a slap in the face.
I mean, I think we've just politicized everything so much also that there has to be a winner. There has to be a loser. You know, I joke like, this is America. Someone has to feel good. Someone has to feel bad. But the way that guys have reacted to this thing in not living in this woman's experience, and if you're watching all these women around the country that were so touched by that dialogue and you don't get it, you're not supposed to. You don't live that life every single day.
It doesn't mean you have to dismiss it.
Right.
That's my point. Like, just because you don't experience it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Well, we experienced that in our own theater. The guy sitting right next to Katie. I mean, to me, it's like one thing to come out with like your own very like weirdly skewed hatred towards the movie, but then to be completely indifferent when you brought your daughters and your wife into the theater to watch this movie that everybody has been raving about how much it is like captured the female experience, to me has been so infuriating because you can't like make somebody understand your experience if they're not willing to listen. Mm-hmm.
This has actually made me want to see it.
Yeah.
Like, I really didn't have the desire in the beginning, but to know that so many men are developing this hatred from the Barbie movie, like, I want to see what all the hype is about.
I promise you, you're going to walk out of there and you're going to go, that's what people are offended by? I mean, they take shots at dudes. I mean, so what?
Yeah.
It's funny.
Right,
it's
hilarious.
True. And most of the stuff they were making fun of us about is 100% true.
The Burt Show.
So was he being a jerk during the Barbie movie? We just got done talking about this list that Kristen brought in where a whole bunch of dudes are very upset about the Barbie movie.
It's made $1 billion and has a 2.9 rating on Google. Like, math is not mathing.
If you're a dude and you are so offended by that movie and you went on Google and gave it a 1-star, I mean, it's time to look at yourself, man. I mean, come on, you're being a little sensitive, bro. So let's stick with this whole Barbie theme for just 1 second, okay? Because he asked this weekend on Reddit if he was being an a-hole or not. So he writes, he and his girlfriend go to see Barbie on Friday, and he wanted good seats, right? So he reserved them. It's one of those theaters where you can reserve, so he's right there in the middle, right? So he reserves the seats, and when they get there, there's a woman with her daughter, and she looks like she's about 6 years old in their seats, right? So he told the mom that she was in the wrong spot, and mom said, yeah, I know, I'm aware. She said that when she bought the tickets, there were only two left. There was one in the front row and there was one way in the back. So she was hoping they'd switch so she could sit with her kid, right? Now,
that is a bold ask.
Okay. Yeah.
And not even ask. Like, you're already sitting in the seats.
You're sitting in the seats, so you know they got there early, so we can rectify this thing before anybody else gets in the theater. So this dude takes a look at his girlfriend, looks at the mom and the kid, and goes, nah. And he says, you know, I'm sorry, but this really isn't my problem here. And he claims that he politely asked her to move. Then she told him he was being rude and he was being inconsiderate. Someone else in the theater overheard what was going on. They offered up their seats instead, really hanging this guy out to dry.
You look bad now.
So that was the end of it, pretty much, or almost. After the movie, guy's girlfriend comes up to him and says, it would have been just fine. I mean, why? I mean, it's a mom and their daughter. It would have just been fine, and it would have been the right thing to do. So they get into a fight about it also. He's wondering now, was he being the jerk or not?
Absolutely not.
0% this guy is the a-hole. Because here's the thing. They knew going into this theater where their seats were, and they could have totally bought seats for a different time, for a different theater. It shows such a gross amount of entitlement to think that just because it wasn't convenient for you to go to a different movie time or a different theater, that you think somebody else should give up their seats, that they were proactive and bought. Very upset by this.
Somebody commented, and this was about the whole airplane incident where a mom asked a woman to switch seats, and she was like, no, I mean, I purposely got this window seat. I'm not going to move. And everybody was like all up in arms, either on one side or the other. In the same instance here, one person wrote, it's okay to ask. Like, it's not a crime to ask somebody to see if they can accommodate you. Mm-hmm. And it's also not a crime to say no. Mm-hmm. Like, both of those, it's okay to ask and it's okay to say no. So for the mom to be like, you're rude. No, he's not rude. He bought those seats. You asked. He didn't feel like accommodating you, so you just have to suck it up and sit in the seats that you were able to buy.
Right, agreed.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he's a jerk at all. I've gone through this on a plane a lot, I feel like, and there's a reason you get a specific seat, like you pay for it ahead of time because mm-hmm. that's what you want to be your seat. And if I were him, I would have been mad that she asked me because I would have felt bad saying no. Like, now I'm in this position where I have to say no, but I would have said no.
So let me ask you guys a question. I didn't have this on the schedule, but I'll ask you guys for your input on it. I'm not asking who's the jerk here and who's not. I'm just going to present the situation that happened to Tiffany and I on our plane this weekend.
Okay.
So we were leaving to go to Toronto this weekend for our anniversary. It's supposed to be a romantic weekend. In full disclosure, this last month has been a season for Tiffany and I. It hadn't been all that easy. So as we're coming out of it, this weekend was supposed to be romantic and, you know, very togetherness, right? So just to set the tone, not just an ordinary trip, a romantic trip. So we get on our flight, and for whatever reason, our seats are on opposite sides of the aisle. So she's in the window seat on, like, let's call it 13A, right? And I'm on 13, whatever that window seat would be, D. Mm-hmm. So there are two people in between us, right? So she politely asks the person next to her if he would move so we could sit. And he said, you know what? I really like an aisle seat, so no, I'd rather sit here. Cool. Now, the woman next to me was in her 80s and she was sporting a cane, and I just didn't feel comfortable asking her to change seats. She was already settled in. To be totally honest with you, she didn't look all that comfortable, and she was in her 80s and a cane and all that. I'm not going to ask, right? So I kind of like just waved at Tiff like, see you in 2 hours, right? Yeah, this kind of sucks. Well, Tiffany, and this is the first time I've seen her kind of do something like this. This is really unlike her, sort of asked other people to rearrange their seats or ask the flight attendant if anybody would volunteer. That would be really, really great, right? So the flight attendant starts asking people if they would rearrange their seats so Tiffany and I could sit together. Now, I am sitting in my row, really awkward and embarrassed by the whole situation.
Again, it doesn't hurt to ask.
People pleaser over here, man. It's just like, I don't want to be a pain to anybody. Yep. I understand that we're going to be on this flight, but in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going to sleep the entire way anyway. So while we might be with each next to each other, we ain't going to be with each other. Right. So I'm like, not a big deal. I'll just stay in my seat, see you in 2 hours. Well, Tiffany didn't want that. So she was like rearranging seats and asking people. So finally, we found two people that changed. Tiffany sucked it up, and she got aggressive and they, not aggressive, she asked politely and they said, sure, they would do it, right? Well, when I got back into the seat, I sensed that she wasn't real happy that I wasn't real more aggressive and she was the one that was changing the seats and I wasn't, it wasn't as important to me. Okay. All right. Now, so let me ask you this question. If that's you guys, are you awkward in the ask of everybody else to rearrange the seat or do you do it? Because I don't have that in me.
Oh, no. Bart and I have been in a situation like that, and it was actually a really, really sad flight, and it would have been nice to have been sitting next to him.
Yeah, what do you mean it was a sad flight? Well, you mean like some? It was like a funeral?
Well, no, something tragic happened, and we had to leave somewhere quickly and swiftly to get back home,
oh,
and
okay.
We didn't have seats next to each other.
I thought you walked in there, and they were showing a sad movie.
No.
Everybody was somber in the flight.
It was one of those cry. You didn't know you could book cry flights where everybody on the plane's crying?
Do you pay extra or less for that?
You pay so much extra for it.
I would think less.
You know,
I don't want to be on the cry flight.
Cry flight's getting high demand these days. No, so we had to cut a vacation short because something tragic happened. So he and I were on the same flight, but we weren't sitting next to each other. And while it would have been nice to sit next to each other, No, we weren't asking people to move, and we didn't.
It just makes me uncomfortable, but let me ask you guys, and then I'll tell you why I didn't.
I see where she's coming from, because in that moment, if you want something to happen, as a lady, you kind of want your guy to step up.
Sure.
And then when you have to do it, it makes you feel like a man, and that doesn't feel good. So I get why she's upset, but mm-hmm. if I was in that situation, I would have just slept the flight.
I've been in this situation a couple times, and I'm always like you. And this, I don't want to ask anybody. I don't want to inconvenience anybody, so I'll just suck it up. Even if it's like maybe a 5-6 hour flight, I might be a little more aggressive in asking. But for like a 2-hour flight, nah, I wouldn't have said anything.
I wouldn't have either.
I was proud of her for doing it because she clearly has more balls than I do. But it's unlike, normally she wouldn't do something like that, but she's kind of going through a metamorphosis right now also. And my thought really was like, honestly, it's not very romantic. It's just very practical. Like, I'm going to sleep through this flight anyway, and you're probably going to read. So is it really that important for us to be right next to each other? But there is something more intimate about sitting next to each other on the flight. So they rearranged it, and it was fine. But I really felt like an a-hole.
I get it.
I totally did.
The Burt Show.
All right, so what do you got going on in your life you want to share with The Burt Show? Hit us up at theburtshow.com. And in this email right now, they were engaged. He cheated. They broke up. What should she do with the engagement ring? Because it was also his grandmother's.
Hello, Burt Show. I need you to be the deciding factor, please. Half of my friends say keep the engagement ring. The other half say give it back. And then there's me firmly stuck in the middle. One day I want to give it back, and then the next day I'm like, no. He didn't value me, so why should I give him the ring back? My fiance and I recently called off our engagement. Turns out he had been cheating on me for practically our entire relationship, which is 2 years, by the way. Why he even bothered proposing is beyond my comprehension, let alone propose with an heirloom that belonged to his grandmother on his mother's side. My first thought was to give the ring back because it's a family heirloom. But he lied for our entire relationship. That's 2 years of my life wasted, which I'd say is worth something. Maybe it's worth the cost of the ring. I haven't had it appraised yet, so who's to say how much it's worth, but it's better than walking away with absolutely nothing. My friends are pulling me in both directions. I get the point of giving it back. It's an heirloom. And why would I want that toxic ring in my life or the toxic money I get from selling it? But my other friends have a point that I deserve to be compensated for my pain and suffering plus time lost. One friend who wants me to sell says I should at least get it appraised to figure out what I'm dealing with. If it's not worth much, then just give it back. If it's worth a pretty penny, then Bora Bora, here I come. Your turn to weigh in. Thanks.
All right. So a key point here is, turns out he had been cheating on her for practically their entire relationship.
Yes.
She finds out. That's why they're not together. Does she keep this family heirloom or does she sell it? Or what does she do with it? What do you think, Ma?
As much as I understand wanting to, get some kind of payback in this situation, two wrongs don't make a right, even though sometimes it feels good. And I wouldn't be able to live with what I believe would come with having this ring in my life or even selling it. I I just believe in karma, sometimes a little too much, as Kristen has reminded me in the past. But I think that wouldn't be my way of getting my lick back. I would have to just give the ring back and move on with my life.
Would you at least get it appraised before you gave it back?
No, it'd be too tempting. If it came back with a high number, karma ain't that strong.
It'd be hard to give it back.
Yeah, her friends kind of sound like one of those personal injury commercials where it's like, if your boyfriend's been cheating on you for 2 years, you're entitled to compensation. Uh-huh. And I don't think for this particular scenario that money is going to make this any better. The damage has been done. He cheated on you for 2 years. The only thing you're going to get out of this is like a moment of feeling like you got back at him, and then that thing is going to be sitting in your jewelry box for 5 to 50 years, and it's just going to go to waste. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think I have a meet in the middle. What?
I was just thinking, I we're going to need one, because I would be totally against what Mo and Abby are saying right now. If I was cheated on for 2 years,
yep,
and I had that ring,
uh-huh,
I'm selling it for cash.
Okay.
Okay. I'm making myself feel better, and I'm going on a nice little vacation by myself. You cheated on me for that long in our relationship? Yeah, I'm going somewhere and celebrating.
2 years, you were cheating when you proposed, yeah, cheating during,
yes,
the engagement.
Give me that ring, I'm selling it.
Okay, so what if she gets it appraised, turns out to be a pretty penny, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she does, she sells it. Well, the nice thing would be to give him a heads up. Hey, by the way, I sold the ring. It's here if you want to buy it back. So he can get the ring back. Mm. He's just going to have to pay for it.
And
so she sold it and got the money.
Do you upcharge him?
Well, no, she doesn't. I mean, she sold it to, like, she is probably going to go find a jewelry store or something like that and sell it, or a pawn shop or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And get whatever money she can. And wherever she ends up selling it to, she'll tell him, hey, it's at the cash and gold shop on the corner. If you want it, you can go and buy it back.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
And if he says no, you're going on a trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got the money. Be like, hey, sorry, but this is kind of what you get for being a D-bag.
Yeah, you've already sold it to the pawn shop, so you're going on your vacation. Mm-hmm. Now it's up to him to go to the pawn shop and get it back.
That's fair. And that might keep grandma from haunting you, so I like this.
I like that. Hey, Kenzie, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Good morning. Kind of like the last caller, I would do the same. I would go get it appraised, and then I would send him an invoice for the ring and say, you want the ring back? Here's the invoice. You can buy it. And buy it back, because she deserves her time that she spent with him. She deserves something back for that.
So give him first right of refusal. Be like, I had it appraised. This is how much it's worth. You can either buy it here, or I'm going to take it to a pawn shop or a jewelry store and sell it there.
Now, when you get the appraisal back, right, do you upcharge him from what the appraisal was also? Do you take like 10%?
No, that would be cruel.
I mean, you already there.
I'm getting every penny, man. You cheated 2 years. I am getting every penny.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Actress Leah Remini is suing the Church of Scientology. So she just filed a lawsuit in California against the church for a whole slew of things. She posted on Instagram, she said, for 17 years, Scientology and David Miscavige, who's the leader of the Church of Scientology, have subjected me to what I believe to be psychological torture, defamation, surveillance, harassment, and intimidation, significantly impacting my life and career. I believe I'm not the first person targeted by Scientology and its operation, but I intend to be the last.
So this isn't suing them for like when she was in Scientology, because she's been very, very vocal, has done TV shows calling out Scientology. So she's talking about when she left the church, they have made her life a living hell, according to her, and that's what she's suing for.
Yeah, and people are actually expecting her to bring Tom Cruise in as a witness, because one of the main talking points that she's brought up she talked about like all of this psychological torment from this situation, she said that when she was at Tom Cruise's wedding in 2006, she went up to David Miscavige, the leader of the Church of Scientology, and was like, hey, where's your wife? Like, she's kind of like missing. And apparently after that, for 4 months, she was psychologically punished. And because Tom Cruise is so closely tied with the Church of Scientology, he is expected to probably be a witness in this case.
Oh, which, God.
I know.
You know he's going to skydive into the courthouse, though.
Mission Impossible style. Maybe jump on some couches or two. But she wants the Church of Scientology to cease and desist any practice of harassment, defamation, and any unlawful conduct
against anyone they've labeled as a quote-unquote enemy.
Yeah, so for those that don't know, David Miscavige, his wife Shelley, has been missing since 2007.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there's a lot of intrigue surrounding her, and nobody knows where she is.
Mm.
And Leah just wanted to know where she was at. Mm-hmm. And she probably shouldn't have asked.
One question too many now. Now Leah going to go missing.
Ed Sheeran had a really cute girl dad moment on stage with his first live gender reveal. So a lucky couple was in like one of the first couple rows of an Ed Sheeran concert. And they were holding this sign. They passed this envelope to Ed. And he decided that this was the perfect time to be able to let the world know what this couple was having. And Harry Styles does this a lot too. And typically what Harry will do after he reveals the gender is sometimes they'll even ask Harry to name the child. And so I was kind of like wondering if they were going to do that, because how cool is that? Like, first of all, Ed Sheeran telling the world what you guys are having, but also then as like you call your child whatever you call it, being like, Ed Sheeran actually gave me that idea for the name.
As a child, when that child grows up, are you thrilled that a celebrity named you, or deep down, are you a little disappointed that your parents couldn't get it together enough to name you themselves? Because I feel both ways. I'm like, that would be so cool to be like, Harry Styles, name me. But then at the same time, I'd be like, really, mom and dad? Like, you didn't care enough to figure one out for me? You had to, offload the work?
Well, they were just going to name her like Emily or something. But instead, they could have like a cool name. Like, his daughter's names are Jupiter and Lyra. Imagine the creativity he could have come up with for your name.
Hey. I would feel cheated.
You would feel cheated?
I would feel cheated.
Like, that's your job, mom.
Yeah, you're lazy. Why didn't y'all name me?
And he took Jupiter. He's gonna like give them Uranus or something.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Nemo.
Listen, parents are not that creative. My name is Abby just because my parents just liked the name. And I would like a cool story, because that's always an icebreaker in like classes and stuff. They're like, whoa, what's the story behind your name? And everyone has like a sweet, like, oh, it's after a book character. Uh-huh. And I'm like, my parents just like rolled the dice.
Yeah, Hollis's name is just like, yeah, we didn't know anybody named Hollis. There was no inspiration. Hayden was named after a piping company that we saw on a billboard on the way down to South Carolina.
Really?
Yeah, we couldn't come up with a name. We saw Hayden Piping. And when Stacy and I both looked at us and goes, oh, that's a nice name. And I said, that's a weird name for a kid, Piping. And she said, no, the Hayden part. And I'm like, oh, that's good.
See, I think it makes it so special that both your parents liked your name, because now you have a little piece of them with your name. It's something they loved. Like, I had so many book names I loved, and we purposely didn't name our son after any of them in case it became TV shows and bad stuff happened. But like, also we wanted something that was from us. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah.
Come to think of it, I should feel cheated, because I was named after a professional basketball player.
Oh.
Maurice Cheeks.
Get out of here, really?
Yeah, it wasn't even Julius Erving that named me after.
Why Mo Cheeks?
He just liked the fact that Dr. J used to call him Mo in the backcourt.
Come on,
and
really?
It was like, yeah, Mo will work. And Maurice Cheeks, that's what I mean.
Can your nickname be Cheeks?
No.
Yeah.
No,
no, no.
This is why I don't tell y'all anything.
Cheeks.
That's taken.
Jamie Foxx deleted a post over the weekend people are calling anti-Semitic. I'll tell you what Jennifer Aniston's got to do with it on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
So on Friday, she was telling us her best friend and her husband's twin brother, it appeared, we're going to get engaged and get married on the same day. She was going to have to make decisions. Haley, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
All right. Kind of give us the recap again for those that didn't hear on Friday, the decision that you thought you were going to have to make, and you thought it was going to split the family.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, my husband, he has a twin brother. He's been engaged for a while, but he finally set the date. And it turns out the wedding's going to be on the same day as my very best friend. We've been friends since like middle school, forever. So she's like a sister to me. So that's one conflict. But also, I had this feeling we were going to go out for dinner this past weekend, and I thought she was going to ask me to be her maid of honor. So that just made it more complicated, because I would really want to do that, but that would mean totally missing my brother-in-law's wedding.
Okay. And you knew that was going to really, like Kristen was saying, if you miss that wedding, this is going to have long-term ramifications with the family. I don't know that they're ever going to accept you, I think you said.
Yeah, well, depending on the type of family. Like, if it's often said that mother-in-laws can be difficult for women. So if she is a mother-in-law that is difficult, you not attending her son's wedding, and you are the sister-in-law, and not supporting your husband by attending his brother's wedding, I could see them holding that against you forever.
And that's a mighty long time.
Yeah, they are super tight. Like, yeah. They're really a close family. So my husband was like, oh, like, no question. Like, for sure you're coming to this one. Mm-hmm. So it was really tough.
All right, so what happened over the weekend?
Okay, well, I was right. She did ask me to be her maid of honor.
Congratulations.
And thank you. But I actually hadn't made a decision at that time. Like, I was still kind of going back and forth. But when she asked me, I just, like, I was really touched. And I got really emotional. And I said yes right away.
Mm-hmm.
So without even discussing it with my husband or thinking about it, I just jumped in. And my heart just tells me, of course, that's the right thing to do. So I get home and my husband's like, oh, so how did she take it when you said no? Like, he just kind of totally assumed that, of course, I was going to say no. So, yeah, I told him I couldn't help it. I said yes. And he was so angry. And he just says that his whole family is going to be mad and his mom's going to be mad and his brother. So, yeah, it's kind of an awkward situation.
Yeah.
I've known her longer. So that's the thing.
Just so I have this right, did you tell the husband that this was a possibility or this came out of nowhere for him?
I definitely told him it was a possibility, but he just assumed, like, oh, well, of course, family comes first, right? And we've been together. His twin brother is honestly like a brother to me at this point. Like, we are really close, but he never really thought that I would be turning that option down.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't blame him for being upset. You understand why he's upset, right?
Definitely. That's why I had to call you guys. I don't even know what the right decision is.
There is none.
Tell me this.
There is no right decision, and there was no way that you were going to get out of this unscathed.
Yeah.
Either your best friend was going to be upset at you, or your husband and his family were going to be upset at you. So it was going to be a lose-lose all the way around. So
somebody's going to get hurt.
Someone's going to get hurt.
Regardless of what you do, somebody would feel it. But I, for some reason, feel like if I'm the guy, if I'm the husband in this situation, I would genuinely understand that if there was one reason for you to miss the wedding, it would be due to your best friend. You're the maid of honor at your best friend's wedding. I just wouldn't be that mad about it.
I'm with you.
Yeah, Haley, I feel like you have to explain to your husband and put him in the situation that you're in. Be like, if your best friend asked you to be the best man in their wedding, how would you feel? Because I know when I was asked to be my cousin's maid of honor, that was a special moment. And it's like a job. And I feel like you really do need to show up for your friend and take care of business, essentially. The brother-in-law will be there forever. I know he'll be hurt, but I kind of think you made the right decision.
But then you got moms and dads, in-laws that are going to be mad at you also. You got that ripple effect through the family, maybe. Does she have to go to the other family members and tell them also why she made that decision, why she's not going to be there?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I talk to him for sure, but.
Yeah, I mean, if you are, like you said, you just said, like, your brother-in-law is like a brother to you now. So you owe it to him to let him know that you're not going to attend the wedding and why.
I think you do that today. Honestly, I think you should tell that to him today and get his reaction and then take it from there.
I agree.
Okay.
You should definitely speak to the brother.
I mean, I am trying to figure out a way for you to, like, to be a maid of honor. Like, you can still plan, like, the bachelorette party and plan the bridal shower and also try to find some way to be there for your brother-in-law.
I'm going to bet that if you call the brother-in-law today and tell him what's going on, he's going to be way cooler about it than your husband is.
Maybe, yeah.
I think so, but that might not matter to your husband.
Yeah.
Even if his brother is cool about it, that might not even matter.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's tough either way, for sure.
Because you're choosing your friend over his family,
yep.
And that's a tough pill to swallow.
But that really is her family. I know it's not blood, but
I know it is. You know, I get it. Mm-hmm.
Your best friend.
All right, Haley, keep us posted on what's going on, but I think we all agree that you should at least talk to the dude that's getting married.
Oh, definitely. I will. Thank you, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
The Burt Show.
So Abby is wondering to knock or not to knock That is the question.
To what?
Knock.
Knock?
Are you a knock? Are you not a knock?
Oh, a narc.
A
yes.
Knock.
I'm like, where,
do you
what,
have that clip, Tommy?
What door am I narking on? Knocking on?
The knock. Are you or are you not the knock?
I'm really split.
Abby's like, what the hell is going on?
My brain is short-circuiting. I was like, what movie are we citing?
This is a clip we've been playing for years. It's Sandra Bullock. And what was the name of the movie?
Mark Wahlberg's in it. I know that,
it's
right?
It's The Heat, isn't it?
It the is heat. The Heat with right. Melissa McCarthy.
Hang on, we're trying to pull it up.
And Joey McIntyre's in it.
Right. And there's a line in there where the accent is so thick that they're not sure if she's saying narc or not.
Yeah. Well, I've been getting some really concerning DMs from some married men, and I'm not really sure whether I should knock or not. I'm really bad at accents. I'm trying my best here.
You're not the only one.
So when I took this job, I kind of knew I would get some sketchy DMs here and there. And honestly, like, I kind of assumed that a lot of, like, any negative DMs would be from, like, women who are like, you're ugly, you're not funny, we hate you, like, get off the show. And like, surprisingly, shout out to women. I feel like they have been the nicest to me ever since I joined the show.
No, why would you say that?
What?
You just opened up the floodgates.
What do you mean I just opened up the floodgates?
Now they're going to be like, oh, nobody's hit her up. Oh, I got opinions.
I won't be checking my DMs.
Your Boston accent sucks, Abby.
I'm not saying I haven't gotten some sketchy DMs from women, but like, overall, women have been more positive than men because I have been checking the dark spam folder of my DMs recently, which is
never—it's
never a good idea. And I was surprised to find like a slew of very upsetting. No, upsetting's not the word because I'm not bothered by this. Clearly, I've been getting a lot of very bizarre,
disturbing
messages from married men, and it's not in the way that you would think. They're not asking me to like hook up or send pictures. I've probably gotten like 10 to 12 different messages from men who have like these beautiful wedding photos in their profile, like calling me very obscene names, being very upset about my like my dating segments, being like, well, you're the problem, and you know, just every horrible thing you could call a woman has been called to me by these men.
So this isn't a question of these guys coming on to you married.
Yes.
Okay.
But what I'm saying, why I'm specifying that they're married, because A, you get like a horrible DM with someone calling you the C word with like this happy photo of them with their wife. And then you're like, well, geez, who are you? How are you? If this is how you're treating some random stranger in the DMs, is this really who you are? Or are you doing this to your wife as well? And so in my mind, I'm thinking I have two options here. I can either just ignore it and maybe talk about it on the radio, or B, I can find out who their wives are and send the screenshots and say, hey, I just think you should know this is what your husband's doing behind your back. Because in my opinion, if my dad was saying these because these are horrible things, like, and I'm not talking like calling me ugly. I'm talking like every word I could never say on the radio ever.
I would be mortified if my husband was sliding into a stranger's DMs and calling her unthinkable names and just being downright disgusting.
I don't know why this is even a legit question, but did they appear to be much older than you also?
Much older. Yeah. Oh, wow. I mean, like, okay. I mean, not like in their 80s, but like late 30s, 50. Early 40s, like not 22-year-old men who got married because they wanted army benefits. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's men who have been married to women because I've done the stalking of them. I found your Facebooks. I know who your wives are. And I've made a whole list and I've kind of been sitting on this for a couple of weeks of thinking, is it better to just stay out of it because not my circus, not my monkeys? Or
you could be inviting crazy into your house by doing that.
Yeah. It would be really you could be, but it'd be really effective.
No.
I will tell you that, man.
Someone who has that much hate for a woman and a stranger on the internet, I would not provoke that.
Yeah, she's probably right. Cass is probably right.
Because Cassie gets some really nasty messages too. And so you're dealing with somebody who is willing to slide into a stranger's DMs and leave the most unsavory, and that's putting it politely, comments and messages, is not a person you want to engage with. Because you don't want to poke that bear.
Agreed.
It's not safe.
And you just don't know where they're coming, something happened in their past for whatever you said has triggered something in their past, right? So it really isn't about you. Mm-hmm. It's something that happened to them and it's about somebody else. And it's hard to remember that when you're the one being called the C word. But Yeah, inviting that kind of crazy in, that's too much.
I was going to say the exact same thing. In my experiences, in this, it's better to ignore it because it's one, for your mental peace, it's better. And for two, you're not going to change anybody who's already at the place of doing something like this because it's really not about you as much as it's about them. So don't do it. But for radio purposes, I think you should answer every single one.
It's not like I'm trying to change their mind. Like, if they think I'm the C word, they think I'm the C word amongst the other things I was called. But I think I felt a sort of protectiveness over the women that they're married to as well, because I'm like, either this is a completely like benign or like different situation where this is just like his secret life that he's living, mm-hmm. where he just wants to like throw hate at 26-year-old women on the internet. Or maybe like this woman is actually in a very horrible situation where maybe she needs somebody else to call out the fact that this guy's mm-mm. trash.
No.
Okay.
If she's in a situation like that, that's either verbally abusive, physically abusive, abusive is abusive, or just in a really dysfunctional situation, getting a DM from a random stranger isn't going to help the situation at all. She's not going to, it's not going to be the thing to go, oh my God, he really is a jerk. She already knows.
You don't know. It would be one thing if you witnessed him doing it to her. It's another thing for it to be directed at you and then make that leap that if he's doing this to me, then he also must be doing this to his wife.
Okay.
Because maybe he is just a D-bag to strangers on the internet. I mean, don't get me wrong. I freaking love your idea.
Yeah.
I think it is epic.
Can I do it on her behalf? Because if they come for me, I'll unleash a whole world of fury.
Yeah, now if it comes from a dude, that's different for me. If it comes from Tommy, that's different for me. Tommy will do it for you.
Wait, I'll do it. I'll give him my address. Come on.
Why is it different for a dude?
Because Tommy, I don't know, because Tommy's Tommy.
Because I'm crazy owl.
Listen, because these are...
I'll be inviting all of it.
These are men with a lot of anger, and they're looking for a punching bag. And even though I know you do Orange Theory like every day, you don't appear as someone who could like put anybody in a chokehold. Mm. So as much as I hate to say that, and I'm not saying you're not capable. I'm just saying I think some guys will see Tommy and shut up. Whereas if they see you, they're going to be like, easy target. Let's get him. Now, one thing you can do, and I've done this before, is you can post the comments that they've sent you publicly, but just black out their name. Mm-hmm. And so then they get shamed, but they don't actually get called out. So nobody knows the comments from them, but they see it, and then they can see everybody being like, that's disgusting, and let the internet tell them off. They'll see the comments, but they won't actually get called out, so there's no need for that retaliation.
And the next time we ask you if you are struggling to be a knock or not, now you will know.
The Bird Show.
See, now DeKalb County knows how to do it. Fulton County knows how to do it. Oglethorpe County, I don't even know where that is, but they know how to do it also. I'm bringing the kids back to school on Monday.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It just makes sense. We had a couple on Friday. They're like, come on in. Now you get the weekend off. Just messing up your schedule. So now I believe everybody in Georgia officially back to school. All right, Mo, invited to a pool party at where?
It was at the Atlanta White House. Speaking of DeKalb County, that's where it is. I don't know if you guys have ever been there or not or are familiar with it.
No.
I didn't even know Atlanta had a version of the White House, but apparently that's what this building or this mansion is known as, the Atlanta White House.
Oh, right there on Briarcliff Road.
Yeah.
Does the governor, like, live there or something?
Not at all.
No, okay.
Especially after what I witnessed this weekend, I'm pretty sure that the governor's never been there.
Is it? That's not the Fox 5 building? Because that kind of looks like the White House also.
No. I thought that was the Fox 5 building.
It could be.
What I'm looking at. is this the Atlanta White House you're talking about? Yeah, that is not the Fox 5 building, because I've been in that building and it does not look anything like
From the road, it kind of does.
I know exactly what you're talking about, because I used to go to school over there. When you drive down Briarcliff, it's this giant white house, but there are signs for Fox 5 around, too.
So what is this house?
So I don't know what the house normally is, but I know when I was there on Saturday, it had nothing to do with the government or Fox. I can promise you that. But it was a party that I was invited to. That was a few different sponsors and endorsements that they were just throwing a pool party there. And a good friend of mine happens to work for one of the companies and invited me, and I was influenced to go because I don't know why, but I'm not a pool party guy unless I'm on vacation. It's just something about going to a pool party where you live. It's just not my thing.
Really?
I'm not into it, but I'm like, you know what, I don't have anything to do, I'll go, I'll get outside. And it was very interesting. I had no idea what to expect. She just told me what time to pull up, and I did. And so the party was from 2 to 10, and she tells me to meet them at like 2:30. And I didn't understand why we were getting there that early. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, whatever, I'll do it. And as soon as I show up, they're like, we're going to go to a Sprinter. They ordered like a Sprinter van for everybody.
to bring you in, like, away from the house to the house?
Exactly that. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, cool. So we drive, but this is where I thought it was weird. And nobody else appeared to think this was weird. So we drive past the party, right? Like, they're like, oh, that's where we're going. So in my mind, I'm like, why don't you just get out, right? What sense does this make? We drive 2 blocks past the party. That's where the Sprinter van is. So we park.
It's satellite parking.
Is that what this is?
Yeah, so because they don't want to have parking at the... So it's satellite parking. You park somewhere else, and then the van will take you to the party.
You sort of have to do it in that part of town, if it's where I'm thinking, on Briarcliff, because the roads are so narrow anyway, and it's an older part of town, too, that you couldn't have cars just lining up right there on Briarcliff.
Okay.
So they probably were taking people to a parking lot and then shuttling them over to this big old house.
That actually makes more sense, because I was, like, really confused as to why we got into the Sprinter, and the Sprinter took us around a corner, and then the ride was over. Yeah. Like, yeah. We didn't get to have water, none of the drinks in there, anything. It was over. So we get there, and it was actually good that we got there early, because it wasn't as many people there at the time, which I'm realizing now, I'm older, that's the better time to get to the party. So we have like a nice little section by the pool, and everybody's like, so we're not going to be those people that go to a pool party and don't get in the pool, are we? And I'm like, okay, here we go. I'm not a big public pool fan, but I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I get in the water, and it seemed like as soon as we got in the water, that was the cue for everybody else that was there.
Yeah, it's like the dance floor. Once one person gets on the dance floor, then others are like, okay, it's dance time, pool time.
Exactly. Yeah. So I get in the water, and immediately I start to see more people start to get in the water. So the first thing I see, where I knew, all right, it's probably time for me to go, was this guy comes from out of nowhere and just jumps in the pool fully dressed.
There's always that person.
Yeah. I mean, sneakers, jeans, a jersey, the whole nine.
We a couple hours into the night now, so people have been drinking around the pool as well.
This was early. This really? Was maybe a hour into the party, and that was when I was like, okay, that might be my time. And then so I get like close to the edge of the pool, because when I got in the water initially, I didn't realize that I wasn't even going to be able to stand up. Like, the pool was a little deeper than I anticipated. And now I'm waiting. And then there's the guy. There's always the guy that does the thing that's like, bro, really? This is what we're doing? Mm-hmm. Guy walks into the party with like a, this snake is a real Burmese python. Had to be, I would say, at least 10 feet. It's a big snake.
That's a huge snake.
It's a really big snake. And he has it around his neck. And I just had a vision. Something said, Mo, get out the water. It's time to go. There's men in here with jeans on. It's a guy in the water with a snake. Uh-huh. I get out the water. I need it no more.
That's a good call. That should be a PSA. Once the man with the snake gets in the water, it's time to get out.
It's time to go. So as I get out the water, I turn around. It couldn't have been 30 seconds later. The snake gets loose.
Is it bad that I'm more nervous for the snake being in chlorine than I am the people around the pool?
No, I was worried about the snake as well.
I'm more worried about the snake.
It was all snake for me. The snake and people peeing in the water. Both make me very uncomfortable.
Yes.
The bathroom lines were like 30 minutes long to use the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
So you can imagine what's going on in this pool.
I mean, with everything. There's got to be some kind of mental calculation, because with every beer or drink you have, the bathroom becomes 10 feet further, and you're like, there's no way I can make it. I'm just going to go right here.
That's what I was thinking. And it was one of those situations where you have to go inside the mansion to go to the bathroom, and there's no it's like unisex. So both bathrooms, there's at least probably 5 women waiting in the line. Then there's a guy. Then there's another 5 women. So as a guy,
that's jacked up.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, I'm like, they're not getting out of this water. There's too many people not getting out of the water. So I wouldn't get back in the water. But when the snake got loose, it became mayhem, pretty much. Like, everybody's running out of the pool, obviously,
of course,
because of the snake. So the guy clears the pool out with his snake, and security is there, but I guess there's nothing illegal about having a snake in this party or in the pool. So they're not even doing anything. They're just letting it happen. And that's when I realized, like, you know what? This is beyond me getting out the pool. I'm getting out this party.
So pythons can swim.
Yes.
Huh.
Snake was fine in the water. Yeah. It was everybody else that had the problem. The snake was cool.
Yeah, I really want to know the outcome of what happened to the snake in chlorinated water. That can't be good.
I wouldn't think so.
Highly toxic.
I would think so, right?
I Googled it. Okay. I'm not a snake expert, but.
Is that right?
So there, the good news is it won't be at the next pool party because the snake is dead. Okay. He killed his own snake.
He killed his own snake.
And I mean, what does that say about, like, how long have you lived in Atlanta?
23 years.
Okay, and I've been here for 12. Never once been invited to a party at the Atlanta White House.
No.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, after your story, I'm glad I haven't.
You're not missing anything. I can promise you that. It's a beautiful home, though.
I would really like to, but not like to, be the guy that tests the water every hour on the hour at a pool party like that to see how much urine is in it.
Ugh. Can you even test that?
Well, there's a quick way. I read something recently that grossed me out is when you go swimming and you know your eyes turn red. That's not from the chlorine. That's from the pee in the pool.
No, that can't be.
Interacting with the chlorine.
Serious? Mm-hmm.
Yep. So the quicker they turn red, the more you know.
The pool was legit a different color.
Oh, like, yeah.
From when I noticed it from because I took a picture of it from when we first got there to when more people came. It completely was way more cloudier.
I don't disagree. You ever been to a pool party in Vegas?
Yes.
Okay. At the end of the day, that thing is just soup. That thing is not chlorinated water, man.
It's disgusting, man.
But at the end of the day, you're so hammered, you do not care.
You do not care. You do not care. But even the drunkest person shouldn't put their head under the water.
It was 5 o'clock. People doing that, too.
Nah.
Yes, it would be. Dude, they were diving into it. Like, oh, this is disgusting, man.
Bird Show.
The Bird Show.